This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Okay. We are rolling. We're rolling. Fine Thursday. We got football tonight. We got some football tonight. Some primetime matchup. And it promises to be a good one. So let's grab our nuts. Let's puff our chest out. Let's flex some goddamn biceps. Get ready, baby.
I was focused on baby, I ain't call y'all. But now I'm
get ready, baby.
All my bitches in my car.
Look, 36 lubricated condoms. The thing I love about football season is once we get into the thick of it with the NFL, man, you only got 2 days during the week without pro football. And I know we don't have it most Saturdays until we get around Christmas time. But a Saturday is a Saturday. So we're really only looking at Tuesday and Wednesdays being the days where we don't have much. But the nice thing is around here that even on Tuesday and Wednesday, we're watching some goddamn film. So, a little preview for today's program, okay? We're going to take a look at the matchup tonight. Specifically, what did Green Bay do defensively to play the way they did against Detroit? And a bit of a spoiler, it was pretty simple what Green Bay did. So we're going to take a look at what I think Washington needs to do in order to get this Green Bay defense flustered. I don't know who's playing where. I didn't take a look at... Let's do that real quick. Where is this game being played? Packers, Commanders. Okay, it's in Green Bay. So Green Bay opens the year with two home games. They obviously had that home crowd behind them in the week one game against Detroit. And one thing I was really shocked about was when I went back and watched the tape, Micah Parsons really did not get that many reps. He still played a big role, specifically that play toward the end of the game where he took on a double team, beat it, and then chased Jared Goff down for a sack right next to his own sideline. Everybody's pumping him up. I think he even pointed to the sky, did a little Sully in front of his new boys. I'd imagine he would have a bit more of an expanded role in tonight's game. The other thought I was having throughout the course of the game, or sorry, throughout the court, I guess the game, the game film, was the fact that they'll be able to use Micah Parsons in a lot of places. I saw them use him at a three technique a couple times throughout the course of the game, put him right over the center, put him right in between the center of the guard. They did that a couple of times. Most of the time he was out on the edge. But I would, if I had to roughly guesstimate how many reps Micah Parsons got in terms of percentages in that week one game against Detroit, it would have to be somewhere in the 30%. He did not get all that many reps. And one thing I noticed on the first series of the game, talking Packers-Lions here week one, was Micah was looking to the side. I believe it was 90, the defensive end for Green Bay, the strong side defensive end for Green Bay. Don't know his name. Pretty much the only white guy on that Packers defense, number 90. Micah Parsons, on the first series of the game, they threw him in there. He did not start the game, by the way. And Micah Parsons looking to the side, and 90 saying, like, yeah, bump out, bump out, bump out. So it might be, I don't even want to say might. I almost want to guarantee that it's a playbook thing. And since Micah's only been there, what, 2 weeks, a week, that he's still learning the playbook. And they basically, I guarantee you, they basically told him, look, we know you don't know shit yet. We're going to put you in at a limited capacity because we know even though you don't know the fucking playbook, you're going to be able to go out there and still make plays and make an impact. And he did. He's on the thumbnail of this video, this episode. I think the Packers D, they had 4 sacks. Okay. They had at least 3 to 5 TFLs, and they force a pick. The thing about their defense that was really interesting to me is the amount of times I noticed guys being in different places. You got Quay Walker in there at a mic, and he really looks more like a defensive end. The versatility of a lot of these players on this Packers defense is what stood out to me. Because Quay Walker at a mic looks like he could walk up at a 9 technique and play stud as well. He's got the body type. He's got the build. In fact, I think I remember him doing that in recent years. Okay, so you've got him right there in the teeth of that defense. The guys' run fits are really impressive. They got a couple other guys in there. The guys in the trenches for Green Bay, they got violent hands. They defeat blocks. They come out in a lot of 4-man fronts. Sometimes they'll walk. Like I noticed they like to, late in the game, they started mugging a little bit, walking Quay up there. I can't remember the guy's number, but I can visualize him in my head. He's got some caramel skin. And he'll walk up as an edge player, but then back up to that linebacker spot every now and then. They really were using a lot of 4-3 to start the game. And then once Straits got dire for Detroit, that's when they really started utilizing 5 defensive backs, nickel, which makes sense. You're getting down in dire straits in a ball game, you're going to have to start throwing the ball. And that's exactly what Detroit had to do. Now, I haven't watched any film on the Commanders, especially not on their offense. But based on what I saw with Green Bay's defense, the first thing I noticed in the context of this game tonight is how is Green Bay going to respond to the threat of a read option? We watched how they handled Jared Goff and the Lions. There's no threat of a read option. There's no threat of a speed option. There's no threat of Jared Goff really going off script, and we talked a lot about that throughout the course of the week. There's no threat of Jared Goff going off script at all or making plays off schedule. All of those things are a factor with Jaden Daniels. You got the read option, and I guarantee you, you know, for Green Bay, you got 52, I believe. There's a guy with dreads. He's either 52 or 56. It might be two guys with dreads. I mean, there's no white guys on this Green Bay defense other than 90. There's not a single white. I guarantee you these defensive ends, these nine techniques, 90's probably drilling it all week. And they rotate guys like crazy as well, which might be why they're so consistently violent up front. It's because they have so much depth. I'm talking Green Bay Packers. They've got a ton of depth. I notice guys just rotating, and they got them all around the field. I'm telling you. These guys are dynamic. This is the edge that the Green Bay Packers have on defense. They have a lot of dynamic athletes in the box, particularly. Now, they got good DBs, right? They got Xavier McKinney. They got some other guys. They got some dogs that made some plays. But I did notice a lot of soft spots in their zone coverage. And so I really think this game comes down to Jaden Daniels' ability to make plays off schedule, to make the right reads when a read option situation presents itself. I'm talking, you know, second and medium, maybe you take some shots, third and short, a lot like what they did against Cincinnati a year ago, when they went on the road and Jaden Daniels had his coming out party against my Bengals, much to my dismay. I was sitting at Highmark Stadium in Buffalo, New York, watching the Bills beat the Jags like a high school team. And I pulled out my phone and I remember thinking Bengals Commanders week two game, this is a guaranteed win for the Bengals. We can't take this rookie Jaden Daniels seriously. And I was dead wrong. And what happened in that Bengals Commanders game was whenever you'd get third and short, third and four, third and five, third and six, they would come out with that read option. And the Bengals had no idea what to do with it. The guys, the defensive ends just crashed, and Jaden would pull it, and there'd be nobody within three country miles of him. Okay, so I know that that's what Washington's going to have to do. I know what they've been drilling. I guarantee you that Green Bay also anticipates that with their defensive end. There was no threat of that with Jared Goff. There's no threat of a read option. There's no threat of a speed option. There's no threat of anything being off script, off schedule. It was very black and white, and you could see it on the film. Green Bay's defensive game plan was very simple. We're going to come out in a four-man front. We're going to defeat blocks. We're going to fit. Their linebackers do an incredible job of fitting and picking up any slack that their front four maybe leave. Quay Walker's made some incredible fits where he finds the gap, shoots it, rips underneath, and he's right there. Bang, makes a tackle. There's another backer. I can't remember his number for the life of me. And part of why I can't remember a lot of these players is because they rotate so many guys. They've got Green Bay. They've got all this depth, especially in the box. And I think part of their philosophy on defense, I'm talking Green Bay, part of their philosophy on defense is we've got so much depth that we're just going to keep rotating fresh guys in there that can have violent hands, that could drive off the ball and make plays. So that's really it. I noticed a lot of cloud coverage in the secondary for Green Bay. So it's going to be up to Washington to make those zone beat or route concepts work. I noticed that I think Deebo Samuel last week got 10 targets. I mean, apparently the guys lost some weight.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
I noticed Deebo started to look a little husky in the past couple years. He started to look a little husky in the last couple years. But he got a lot of touches on Sunday against New York. A lot of touches. He got 10 targets, and I believe he scored a touchdown. So that's going to be a different aspect of the game plan. How many times is Washington going to bring Deebo in motion with the threat of the jet sweep? And maybe Jaden Daniels jet passes it to him. Maybe he hands it to him. Maybe he brings Deebo in motion and he goes, pulls it, and you got a triple option going the other way. There's a lot of opportunities for this Commanders offense to come out and cover this 3.5-point spread. A lot. Okay, but this Green Bay defense, they stay fresh. They rotate. And you've got to bet your ass that Micah Parsons is going to have a bigger role this week in terms of the reps he's taken. He's had a whole week to synthesize the new playbook. And I'm telling you, that's exactly why he probably only got 30% of the reps on week one against Detroit. He did not get many reps at all. But he did make some plays still. And that's the kind of player he is. So he's going to really compliment. Look, like I mentioned earlier, I'd be shocked. Like, the dynamic nature of some of these athletes on Green Bay's defense is shocking. I mean, you got Micah Parsons at a 9 technique over there on the edge, and Quay Walker playing Mike. You could literally trade those guys. And I guarantee you this defense wouldn't skip a beat. I'm talking, you put Micah at Mike and Quay over at the 9 technique. These guys are absurd athletes. I can't imagine what they look like in person, because on film they look huge. God damn, it is a dark day here in Phoenix. It's not very overcast, but for some reason it's not as bright out. I'm noticing it here in this room right now. It's just very kind of dim in this room. But again, this is a game tonight with major playoff, and I say that and the sun comes out. This is a game tonight with major playoff implications early in the year. NFL schedulers, they're doing a great job. Early game with a major playoff implications. Now, I'll say this about Jordan Love. I didn't watch the Packers offense on film, but I read an article this morning that said the guy threw 2 picks or something, that there were penalties that they got bailed out. Big Grizz, we need to win Washington. I think so too, man. Major, major, major playoff implications for this game early in week 2. Okay? And it's in Green Bay's house, which will make it even tougher for Washington. This is a crazy game to have week 2. And looking at the film of Green Bay's defense, there are some ways for Jaden Daniels and company to have a big night. They've got to start fast with the read options. They've got to get their receivers on some route concepts. I'm talking some digs. They've got it. Here's the thing. I think this is one of the sneaky, most important aspects of this game tonight. Jaden Daniels is a smart guy. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's very poised for how young he is. And I think a lot of his success comes from what's in between the ears. I really do. Great athlete, but I really think he's a smart kid, and he's able to synthesize information very fast. And you have to with this Green Bay defense, because they're constantly rotating personnel. They're constantly giving you different looks. They're constantly showing you a 4-3, but then maybe they walk one of their linebackers up as an extra guy up front. Again, I mentioned it earlier. They did a lot of double mug late in the game against Detroit. And a lot of these guys are very interchangeable on this defense. Whoever the defensive coordinator is for Green Bay, he has got so many different pieces to work with. Like I said, you could put Micah Parsons at a Mike linebacker and Quay Walker at a nine technique. And I guarantee you the guys wouldn't skip a beat. So what Jaden Daniels has to do is Jaden Daniels is going to have to be able to effectively, and I know this goes without saying, but Jaden Daniels is going to have to effectively decipher man coverage versus zone coverage pre-snap, because this Green Bay defense does a lot of moving around pre-snap, especially based on the strength of the formation and especially based on any kind of motion, which I'm sure Washington is going to do a lot of, especially with Debo. Because there's going to be the threat of the jet sweep with Debo. I think he scored on one of those last week. There's going to be a threat of a triple option. You could bring Debo in motion, pull that ball, come out that way, and you know maybe pitch it to the back. So I think there's a lot of paths to victory offensively for Washington tonight, even though this Green Bay defense was incredibly impressive on week one. And I really, you know, it's week two. I've only watched a handful of defenses so far. Definitely, I'd have to say one of the most impressive defenses in the league. So, you want the keys to victory, that's it. If I had to bet on this game, I might just take Washington to cover it. 3.5 points. I don't know if the spread has increased. I don't know. I think 3.5 points is a big spread. This is a good Washington team, man. Good Washington team. And that kind of thing. Might be the game of the week, week two. I haven't looked at many. I know the Bengals are playing the Jags. If it weren't my Bengals, I'd probably be pretty sleepy for that game. But I don't want to beat a dead horse. I've kind of given you guys my analysis on the game. I watched film on Green Bay's defense this morning. Had to watch a bit of it on my phone, quite frankly. I showed up to the gym. I showed up to Red Hawk Academy. Hang out at old Red's Java House. Sit down to watch some film. I open my computer, and the goddamn thing's dead. And I didn't have my charger. So I'm just trying to... At that point, I was just watching it on my phone, watching the film on my phone of Green Bay's defense, hoping that I could get my vision right and spot out numbers, spot out players, spot out defensive personnel. It's really hard to track the personnel with Green Bay because they rotate so many guys. They're very deep. And I'm debating on what film I should watch prior to tomorrow's show, whether we should do a recap of tonight's game or move on to another unit and take a look at that. Really just might depend on what y'all say. Really might just depend on what I say to myself internally. I'm kind of trying to figure it out, man. I'm kind of distracted today. I got a lady that hollered at me and said I got off work early. Come see me. And I said, that sounds great, but I got work to do. We got a show to do. We got a Madden stream to do. So truthfully, I'm a bit distracted. Kind of hopped through my analysis pretty quick. And there's not that many headlines in the NFL today. I haven't looked at the injury reports. I haven't looked at much, but there's not much worth noting elsewhere in the league other than this marquee game tonight. And I'm going to have to pull this game up on my phone because I guarantee, who knows, maybe there'll be another rain delay. I got really lucky last week. Damn. I got really lucky last week with the opening game because of that lightning delay in Philadelphia. I've got a Pop Warner team, 8-year-olds. And we practice Tuesday, Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. here in Arizona. So typically, what, the game starts at 5 p.m. my time. I'm able to catch the first hour of the game. And then our practice is 2 hours, so that's really the meat of the game. And I got really lucky last week because the meat of practice that we had just happened to line up with that lightning delay. So I got to watch a lot more of that game than I thought I would. Don't think that'll happen this week, but if it does, God's really taking care of the boy. I'll tell you that much. I know it doesn't work for you guys because you guys want the football game to happen in a timely manner. I get that. But that's just the way it is, man. That's just the way it is. You know, you got to have stuff going on in the evening. Got to have stuff. What else is going on, man? Anybody that pops in thinking that they're going to get a preview of the game tonight, I'm going to need them to rewind because I basically said everything I need to say about Green Bay's defense. And I don't want to be redundant for the soldiers that are hanging around, hanging in, watching this whole thing go down. You know, I don't want to penalize loyal, faithful listeners. I'm trying to think what else, man. I saw some more Caleb Williams film from Monday night, and I mean, it is bad. I said a couple things about him on the show throughout the week. I think I said, well, he didn't look too bad. He didn't look that bad. He looked that bad. He looked terrible. And it was just a couple, and you got the greatest, one of the greatest offensive minds in football in Ben Johnson at the head coaching helm, probably calling the offensive plays for Chicago. And some of these route concepts, they just didn't make sense. Some of these route concepts, they did not make any sense. Some of Caleb's reads, they did not make any sense. And I think what's going on with a lot of these young quarterbacks, like Caleb Williams, is that they think that, oh man, I'm a generational talent. I'm a marquee athlete. You know, I don't really need to make my reads. I'm just going to go out there and be an athlete. And it's not that way. It ain't that way. I saw some reps from Caleb Williams where the reads looked very simple. It was very clear. Some of these reps that the Vikings were in man coverage.
AI agents are everywhere. automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It's very clear. There was a play. Romo Dunze, that's how the hell you say his name. He's on the weak side of the formation, the nub side. And Caleb motions him over to the strong side. Guess fucking what? There's a guy from Minnesota, number 7, that follows Rome across the formation. Guess what? Dead giveaway that's man coverage. Rome runs what should have really been a straight out arrow route, but it was more like a 5-yard out, took more time to develop. And there was a guy, obviously, to the field. There was a receiver to the field and a corner over top of the receiver to the field. And that receiver to the field cleared out of there. I'm talking Caleb Williams. Film looked bad. Okay? Caleb Williams looked bad. Okay? So you got Romo Dunze to the nub side. You got a receiver to the strong side. Once Romo Dunze, how the fuck do you say his name? Okay. Once Rome, let's call him Rome. Okay. You know, these fucking, I don't know what kind of last name is that. Is that African? I don't know. But once Rome comes in motion and you see a DB for Minnesota sprinting across the formation, that's man. Okay. And then, furthermore, ball snapped. Receiver to the strong side is getting out. The second you see that Vikings DB turn his back, you know he's in man. And you're throwing that out route right there. It's all about timing. You got to get that ball out on time in the NFL. It's one of the elementary aspects of quarterback play in professional ball. You got to get that ball out. Caleb Williams gets it out late. Thing gets blown up. Could have been a 20, 25-yard gainer. Instead, it was like, you know, a 3-yard gainer. So I'm worried that the mentality with these young quarterbacks, like Caleb Williams is that, hey, I'm a generational athlete. You know, I make shit happen. And, you know, my reads are not, my reads are what they are. But, you know, I'm just going to go out there and make shit happen. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. Chicago's defense looked incredible. Chicago's defense looked great. I'm worried about this offense. I'm worried about this Bears offense. I'm worried that the Bears are going to yet again disappoint the faithful folks of Chicago, Illinois. And Ben Johnson... trying to even my hat out here. Ben Johnson is probably going to take the fall for it at some point if it doesn't work out. Why the hell wouldn't he take the fall? So, big implications in the NFC for this game tonight, though. Big implications early. How do these come in? And I'm sure... to go off of that, I'm sure that Green Bay will have some new stunts. What up, horse racing? Playboy Green Bay by 6+. Yotes up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You cannot say assalamu alaikum and then congrat about whiskey. Slap him then. Do something about it. Do something about it and just shut your mouth. Yeah, big game, big implications. My boy Horse Racing, I think I know Horse Racing's name. I think I know who he is. I'm going to spare his identity. But I'm on to you. I'm on to you, brother. He's a good dude. Kentucky Downs kicked his ass. That's all right, brother. All you can do is do your... So I got my friend in here. Again, I think I know his real name. I'm gonna not dox him. But, you know, my friend Horse Racing, let's just call him Horse Racing. He's talking about how Kentucky Downs kicked his ass. I can't remember where Kentucky Downs is. I think it's like Western Kentucky or something like that. Can't remember where it's at. Maybe Sparta, Kentucky? That's where the NASCAR track is, I think. That's crazy. But he said Kentucky Downs kicked his ass. I mean, here's the thing. I know some folks, my folks know some folks that have made their living handicapping horses, betting horses. I can't imagine a higher stress lifestyle than that. Because you can do, it's just like any other sport. You could do all the work. You could do all the research. You could literally put your soul into that shit. And then, you know, one inch of dirt, one centimeter of dirt doesn't go your way. And you're looking at not being able to eat for that month. Okay. Franklin, Kentucky, that's where Kentucky Downs is. Horse betting is interesting, though, because it's not Vegas. It's not Vegas. In Vegas, when you're betting on sports, and anybody that knows ball is watching this show probably knows this, so I'm not going to patronize y'all and try and mansplain to you, but I've always found it interesting that there is a bit of a discrepancy between betting on horses and betting on everything else. Beating the horse racing market is kind of like trying to beat the stock market. It's possible, but it's very hard. And you have to have a palpable edge on everybody else. And the thing about having an edge is that it's not an edge if everybody else knows about it. And if nobody really knows about it, then you got to really do some work, really do some digging, or know the right people with the right information and be lucky to have that edge. But it can be done, both in the stock market, both in horse racing. The odds are not for you, though. But you do have more of an edge when you're betting horses than you do when you're betting ball. And the reason is because Vegas has got the best and brightest odds makers, underwriters, creating these lines to make sure that the house wins. And if the house wins, that means you get fucked. The house will take your goddamn mortgage. They'll take your wife. They'll take your second wife. They'll take the food off your kids' table. They'll take the cellular service out your phone. They'll take the Purina at your food, at your dog's food bowl. The house will. So the fact that there's not as much of the house involved, obviously, like these tracks, they still get a rake, kind of like a poker game. Churchill Downs, race 8. Man, I might have to make it back for Keeneland in October, man. But the thing with horse racing, I had a phase where I thought I was smart enough to beat it. Same with the stock market. And the stock market is my career. You know, but they make Chevys, they make Fords. I'm not really, I can be a quantitative guy when my back's against the wall, but I prefer not to be. I'd prefer to just shoot the shit and talk. sit down and have a little talk, right? Eli Arbiza asks, does Jordan Love wear a cup? That's a great question. Number one, I wouldn't watch in the Packers offense on film. Number two, if I was, I would have to do an extensive assessment of his pelvic area in order to give you a good answer there. I never wore a cup. Thought it slowed me down. Churchill Downs, race number 8, touch of an angel. Does Jordan Love wear a cup? I don't know. You know, I never got racked really that bad. Enjoy horse racing. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for jumping in. I never wore a cup, and I never got penalized for not wearing a cup. Even training MMA, right? You get a lot of these inside leg kicks a lot of the time. I never wore a cup. I felt like it slowed me down, and I never got penalized for it. God took care of these jewels down here. But Jordan Love might. You know, it's pro football. Playing football without a cup is like driving without a seatbelt. Got to protect the family jewels. I always wore one in football. That's Mr. Eli in the chat. Yeah, you know, I kind of like... I kind of like to drive without a seatbelt, too. My car doesn't allow it. But I was with one of my friends in Alabama, and his car does allow it. And I took full advantage. I said, is this thing... I got in the car with him right out of the airport. I said, is this thing going to holler at me if I don't wear a seatbelt? He said, no. I said, really? You mean it? You're going to give me a shot to fly through this windshield tonight? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Corey, my man Corey in the chat. We are ready, Corey, for the game tonight. If you want to see my synopsis of what we think is going to happen, you might want to rewind and run this episode from the jump. I don't want to be redundant for anybody that's been in here, but I'll give you a brief little look here. Green Bay, dynamic defense. They rotate a ton of personnel. They're violent at the line of scrimmage because they have so much depth, so many options that they could keep guys fresh, and they got violent hands, and they're able to stuff offensive linemen in their tracks. Their linebackers do a great job of fitting. Their linebacker group is very dynamic. I expect Michael Parsons to get many more reps in this game than he did in week one, and that's simply because he's adjusting to this robust playbook, and it is a robust defensive playbook that Green Bay's got going on. They'll walk a linebacker up to play, outside. They'll mug sometimes. They start the game off, though, with four defensive backs, four down linemen, and three linebackers. Do I think the Commanders are for real, or was it just a product of playing cream puff Giants offense? And I do think the Commanders are for real. I think they're a great team. I think they added a really formidable piece in Deebo Samuel. Look, like I mentioned earlier in the show, Deebo Samuel, he got a little husky. My man got a little husky, but he was moving good against New York, and I think there's a lot of really – I think he got like 10 targets. He touched the ball a ton, scored a touchdown. I think this Commanders team is for real. I think they've got a good chance to go win the NFC East as well. So what the Commanders are going to have to do against Green Bay, and I'm sure Green Bay is ahead of the game. They're preparing for this. We got to look at the option a bit if we're Washington. We got to look at triple option, read option, maybe motion Deebo across, option for a jet sweep, maybe pull that. Jaden Daniels has got the option for a pitch or to take it upfield. And then obviously, you know, Washington. I think
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Kingsbury's still in charge of that offense. You know, it's like right here. Bang. You know what I'm saying? I love doing that motion, by the way. Just and then pull it, and you're out. So he's going to have to – Jaden's going to have to do a great job, like any NFL quarterback has to. Jaden's going to have to do a great job with recognition. He's going to have to do a great job deciphering man coverage between zone coverage, because I did see some soft spots in this Green Bay's coverage when they were in zone. I'm talking cloud, cover three. It was very obvious to me when Green Bay was in man versus when they were in zone. And so when they're in zone, Jaden Daniels is going to have to be able to comprehend that on the fly and hit some zone beater routes like Diggs across the middle, stuff like that, hit McLaurin. And obviously establishing the run game is important, but it's going to be very hard with this Green Bay Packers defense. This Green Bay Packers defense is designed and engineered to stuff the run. And they're continuous. Like, I'm talking, I had trouble keeping track of all the players on this defense because they're just continually rotating. They're continually rotating guys in so that they're fresh and they can be violent with their hands and get in there and stuff the run. And their linebackers do a great job of fitting and finding the gap. Green Bay will be a much larger test. I think I see an App State logo there for Mr. Doug Arby out of Boone, North Carolina, maybe. It's pretty cool. I went on a visit there. Wasn't good enough to play there, but I went on a visit to old Boone, North Carolina. It seems like a nice, fun, drinking mountain town. The App State Mountaineers are in the building today. What else is going on, man? What else is going on? I am staying off of social media. There's too much political tension, and it just doesn't do much for me. In fact, it does the opposite of doing much for me. I can't look. This shit doesn't affect me. I mean, it might. Shouldn't say shit like that, but you know, I can't do anything about this shit going on right now, man. So I'm off social media. Okay, Eli's a Washington fan. Let's read this. As a Washington fan, I should have been thrilled to see Micah Parsons exit the division, but at the same time, it makes it a bit tougher to make it to the Super Bowl. Dallas isn't really a threat like Green Bay. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's an interesting way to think about it, too. Because you're right. Like the Cowboys weren't, even with him, like the Cowboys weren't a threat, I didn't think, to win the NFC East. But now, you know, with Green Bay, I mean, this tonight's game very well may be a preview for the NFC Championship game. Very well could. Now, what I will say is that I think Jordan Love is not elite. I don't think Jordan Love is an elite quarterback yet. He made a couple really bad decisions in this game from what I read. Again, I did not watch the Packers offensive tape. But from what I read, Jordan Love made a couple pretty bad decisions where turnovers should have happened and he got bailed out. Doug says Jerry Jones might have gifted the Packers a Super Bowl title. He's such a moron how he runs his organization. I mean, on the football side, yes. But the motherfucker's getting paid. If the Dallas Cowboys had a publicly traded stock, you know, that price would be going up and up and up and up. And isn't that the primary gauge of success with these big corporations, the stock price? Doesn't make a lot of sense. It might not even make sense for me to equate a football team to a publicly traded organization, but Business is business. I struggle with this same shit with the Cincinnati Bengals, even though the Bengals are the second lowest valued franchise ahead of Jacksonville, I believe. But I thought for many, many years, my entire childhood, my entire teenagehood, that the Bengals organization, they were just happy to sell the jerseys, sell the tickets, collect the checks, and go 9-7, 9-8. And Jerry might be in that same place as well, except he's printing even more money, a lot more money, double, triple that money. The Eagles and Packers are the only NFC teams that scare me. Rams have a great defensive line, but I don't fear them as much as the other two. Yeah, that's fair. You know, you have to respect Sean McVay. You have to account for the fact that anywhere, and I know this from working in the sports business, okay? I sold tickets in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I also sold tickets in Glendale, Arizona. And the difference between Indianapolis and Phoenix is that there's less to do in Indianapolis. It's cold part of the year, so cold that you can't go outside. Well, I will say in Phoenix, in the summer right now, it's so hot you can't go outside. Thank God it's starting to cool down. But there's palm trees out here. Same with LA. You could argue with Miami. We always used to say in the sports business, I don't know if I coined this or if somebody else planted this seed in my mind and I just subconsciously took credit. But in the sports business, anywhere with palm trees, you're not going to be selling as many season tickets because there's less locals. There's more transplant people. They're from other places. When I was working for the Arizona Coyotes, I remember I sold a flex plan to a guy. It was like maybe, you know, 12 games, 20 games, half season. I don't remember. And I remember him telling me he was from New York. I didn't think much more of it until I went. We're playing the New York Rangers. And I went to go visit my client at his seats. And he was wearing a New York Rangers shirt. Coyote season ticket holder that I sold. And so I think I say all this, I kind of go on this rant to say when you go to LA, when you go to State Farm Stadium right down the road here in Glendale, when you go to Miami, these teams, they just don't have as much of a home field advantage as Pittsburgh does, or Cincinnati, or Buffalo. Hell, Cleveland. They just don't have it like that. It's not as intimidating of an environment to go into. That's why I don't really go to Cardinals games. If I can go to a Cardinals game for free, I'll go. But I have never paid to go to a Cardinals game because it's just not, it's not the same atmosphere as Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. It's nowhere close, in fact, because people have other stuff to do. And the people here that do love football are mostly from other places and therefore are just not as overall passionate about the well-being of the home team, the organization. Sometimes they're rooting against them. A lot of times. Bengals aren't nearly as lousy of an organization as the Browns, Jets, Panthers. Well, thank you. That's a nice compliment. But still, I mean, I was talking to my boy about this morning. If the Bengals don't get that number one overall pick in 2020 for number nine, where are we as an organization? where are we? I'm glad I don't have to answer that. Okay. I appreciate you guys hopping in the chat, participating a little bit. I'm sure you guys have subbed already, but if you haven't, we're on here every day, Monday through Friday, at 5-ish Eastern to 6-ish Eastern. Time's about to change, so we're going to figure out if that's going to remain the same. I, frankly, am still figuring out the best time to go live when everybody, you know, is going to want to pop in here. There's a lot of other shows that I really like and respect that are also talking about football that are live earlier in the day. So I feel like this is a good time to jump on here and kind of put an exclamation point on things, maybe reach people as they're getting off work. But I'm open to suggestions, times of the day that you guys would like to be seeing us go live. I'm totally open to suggestions. Teams like the Browns and Giants are almost always picking high, and they're almost always terrible. Yeah, they don't take advantage of these picks. They try too hard to be outside of the box. That's my take. So we're about to hop on a Madden stream. We're just going to play one game today because, like I said, I got to find a little missus that wants me to come see her before Pop Warner practice this evening. So I told her, I said, look, we got work to do, and that work we are doing. All right. So with that, this is, I think, episode 71, 72. I can't remember. 71, 72. Is it red? Is it blue? But yeah, I'm sure y'all already subbed, but if you love football, you're going to adore our channel. We're here Monday through Friday at 5 Eastern, and then Madden stream shortly after to kind of put our football knowledge to the test. So hang around on the channel if you're interested in seeing that. If you're not, I will see you guys tomorrow to wrap up the week. We'll probably be talking about tonight's game again. And then try and preview some of the contests going forward here for week two on Sunday. That's the show today. Appreciate y'all. Love you guys. I don't use this roast sound enough. You guys know this one? I don't use that enough. Yo mama! All right, sorry. I just wanted to use it. Sub to the channel, brothers.
Come here, dog. Come here. Come here.
Jasper, come here. Come here. Come here. Come on. Trying to get y'all to see my dog, man. He's not budging.
I was focused on baby, I ain't call y'all. But now I'm back at all my bitches in my car, dog. 36 lubricated condoms, no raw dog. I'ma drink a orange juice and I'ma run through all y'all. Girls, they love me. They just think right. I mean, they
see all
like,
man.
Girl, they might punch me. Not if you were real. Girls, they love me.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.